Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
And it is Dom time. Welcome in. That's great news from Mike Donahue. I'm glad to bring you stuff like that as it's breaking. So you got the idea, America First policy, all these policies that make their way up the chain to President Trump in Jersey, Jerseyfying it, taking what's going on in Jersey and melding it into that for politicians, for activists and others as we take back Jersey. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210. By the way, a sign of how things are different this time around with Trump, I saw this article today. They went back to 2017. Who were the people that performed? I vaguely have heard this name of this group. I don't even know if they're around in any prominent way. Three Doors Down, Henry, do you know them? Rock group, right?
Yeah, they sing Kryptonite.
Okay. Are they prominent now?
No.
No, I didn't think so. That's why, because they weren't then. That's who they were reduced to getting. That and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and the Radio City Rockettes. Nothing wrong with them, but that's what they,
I like,
you know.
The Rockettes.
And there was backlash for that. But now, Carrie Underwood, Kid Rock, Billy Ray Cyrus, thank you, Billy Ray, for giving us a side question today. Distinctive hair, the mullet, Lee Greenwood. I couldn't have him do it in person. I would just be so emotional. I just from afar when he's come on, when he does the song. That's going to be more impressive than anything to me. I know Carrie Underwood singing America the Beautiful. Yeah, great. Pales in comparison to Lee Greenwood. And in addition to that,
no,
it does.
No, that's a hot take if I've ever heard one.
Oh, it does.
You think?
Yeah, when Lee Greenwood sings the song, that's more emotional to me than American.
Look, Lee Greenwood's got a voice and all, but he's no Carrie Underwood. I mean,
oh, I meant the whole delivery.
She's like
though.
Off and up there, you know, discuss with Aretha Franklin for the power of her voice and such.
Well, I'm talking about the emotion though of what he wrote. You know, America the Beautiful.
I get that. Okay.
Pales in comparison. It's beautiful. It's nice. But Greenwood, that grabs you. And the Village People are going to perform. And they're still holding out that YMCA is not a gay anthem.
Who has more musical talent, Village People or Kid Rock? It's a tough question.
I'm trying to think of branding and how you go about it.
No, I mean like pure musical talent.
Pure musical talent. I think Kid Rock slightly, probably.
I agree.
Yeah, slightly. Yeah. All right.
Thin margin.
But I mean, look, some people may not like the lineup so far, but given how toxic it is, Jason Aldean's going to do the whole thing, that the small town America thing that got people going too. But even now, though, is one way of looking at it. Trump's not still drawing the AA. They're still back. You know, these people are going to come after you. But it's much better than 2016, the people that he's gotten this time around. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210. We're waiting on Scott Jennings. I think he's on CNN now, breaking down what happened here during the confirmation hearings. I have to say...
Scott Prosser's on CNN. No, Caitlin Collins is on CNN right now.
Okay, yeah. Scott Jennings, not Presler.
She looks
speaking
like
of hair,
Presler.
I will take Scott Presler off the board. You know, the hair is quite a distinguishing factor with him.
But, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Quite
and he's
hair.
Very prideful of it, and rightfully so. He was brushing it as he walked into the room. Ro caught him doing that in Avalon. But I think Hegseth came through this very well, even though there were dust-ups. Gillibrand, particularly, let's play that one more time, Dan. The one that she got very emotional talking about. Is it the mean one? I think
right
that's the one she got fired. Here's Kristen Gillibrand from New York, the senator from New York, duking it out with Pete Hegseth.
Let me get my music out of here.
Watch okay.
Wasn't ready. There you go.
And when you make these public statements, and I get you are not they are so hurtful to the men and women who are currently serving in the U.S. military, harmful to morale, harmful to good order and discipline. If you are saying that women shouldn't be serving in the military, and I'm going to read you your quotes because the quotes themselves are terrible. You will have to change how you see women to do this job well, and I don't know if you are capable of that. So I want to press on these issues that my colleague Jean Shaheen brought up because she said it so well. So first of all, you answered your questionnaire. Do you believe that any American who wants to serve in their country in the military and can meet objective standards set by the military should be allowed to serve without limitation? You've said yes to that question. But then in all of these other circumstances, you've denigrated active duty service members. We have hundreds of women who are currently in the infantry. Lethal members of our military serving in the infantry. But you degrade them. You say, we need moms, but not in the military, especially in combat units. So specific to Senator Cotton's question, because Senator Cotton was giving you layups to differentiate between different types of combat. And specifically, as Secretary, would you take any action to reinstitute the combat arms exclusion for female service members, knowing full well you have hundreds of women doing that job right now? And the standards, your two-mile run, Tom, is about the Army Combat Fitness Test. It is not the requirements to have an MOS 11 Bravo, which is the infantry. These are the requirements today for people serving in the industry, men and women. They are gender neutral and they are very difficult to meet. They have not been reduced in any way. And our combat units, our infantry is lethal. So please explain specifically, because you will be in charge of 3 million personnel. It is a big job. And when you make these public statements, and I get you were not Secretary of Defense then. I get you were on TV. I get you were helping veterans. I get it was a different job. But most recently, you said this in November of 2024, knowing full well you might have been named as Secretary of Defense. So please explain these types of statements because they're brutal and they're mean and they disrespect men and women who are willing to die for this country.
My God. All right. Breaking this down, this type of tirade here, Elizabeth Warren, et cetera, a couple of things. America feels at this point, I believe, that the military is not capably run and that the military is not as capable as it should be, given the weaponry, given all that we're spending. I think that's a fair statement. Democrats don't really care about how effective it would be. They only care about using this to continue to block someone like Hegseth, who they know is going to go after wokeism at its worst in an area where it's life and death. Just like we've seen in California, it's the same thing that they're onto. They're wedded to this, and they want to tell you it's just as good. They want to tell you it is a meritocracy when it's not a meritocracy. I remember this happened in Philadelphia. They didn't have enough police officers. This is a real story, and it's a federal case, the argument over this. They didn't have enough police officers. They wanted to get rid of the police exam. And then they settled on saying, well, if you get, they didn't have enough diversity. If you get a, imagine this, if you get a 70 on the test, which I didn't think was amazingly hard, in other words, you pass, why does it matter that someone else had a 99? For the list to get to be on the police department. That's when it was harder to get on the police department. Today, you know, God knows who they would take. So you get a 70. What difference does it make? We want diversity versus someone who has a 99. That was the argument. And this is still the argument here. What difference does it make with all these physical tests? We want women to be out there to prove a point. And we know exactly what the point is. And Hegseth went through all the things you have to carry, all that you'd have to do. Alan West yesterday went through hand-to-hand combat and what that would be like. Why would we do that? We're not Israel. We don't need this as a core to have women in direct combat. And Tom Cotton did a brilliant job of explaining that today. They don't care about that. It's not about effectiveness, meritocracy. It's about quotas. That's where they're going. So 855-839-1210, you get in. Let me go to Alan in Hamilton on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My selection is Mr. T, who one of the defender of his, but who would say anything against his hair?
Okay, all right. We'll put Mr. T on the list. That's a side question today. In honor of the great Billy Ray Cyrus. Henry, you're on our entertainment beat. Does he still perform? Does he tour? Does he do anything?
Oh, Billy Ray?
Yeah.
I'd imagine he still gets out there from time to time.
What's his all-time hit? It's not Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of Billy Ray. Achy Breaky Heart.
That's it? Yeah. All right.
I'm not much of a country listener.
I just had Old Town Road with Little Nas X, which was a top 10 hit for like 3 years straight, it feels like.
So he's an A-lister, you're saying.
Well, because of Miley, I think he is, yeah.
Dang, flabbit okay. Miley.
All right. Well, Miley Cyrus not performing there.
I was in Montana for Halloween 1 year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. But Carrie Underwood, that's a big name. And the Village People, you had to have them. By the way, the garbage truck is going to be in the parade. And leading off the inaugural parade, I think will be the first responders from Butler, the people who actually came in and took care of things after the screw-up by the Secret Service. All right, 855-839-1210. I think Hegseth is going to get 52 to 53 votes. Any Republican that votes against him after today, it's got to be all-out primary, however else long they're in office. This is a major point. There is no excuse to vote against this. There was nothing today that was disqualifying. All right. But right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Money gone.
All right. Today, we're playing again for another $50 gift card to Ace Hardware. Did you receive an Ace Hardware gift card over the holidays? In celebration of National Use Your Gift Card Day, Saturday, January 28th, treat yourself to a wide selection of high-quality products at your local Ace Hardware. For more information, visit acehardware.com.
Yeah, Dom, today we're talking about someone who happens to be in the news, mentioned a couple times on today's show. We want to know who it is today covering a song, and I do this rarely where we're talking about someone in the news, but I want to highlight the really strong musical ability of this individual. Take a listen.
I'm gonna take a freight train. I don't care where it goes. I'm gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain low. I'll jump off, nobody gonna know.
You want another cover artist today, Dom? Looking for the cover artist.
All right. Yesterday, Henry, modeling your behavior, had a Finnish language song. So
oh,
the beat
great.
Goes on.
You know, it's one day goal of mine to have all our listeners to understand the language of Finnish.
I agree. That must be it.
There's more than ours a lot.
855-839-1210. You get on board. Hope to hear from Scott Jennings. But hit us with the cover artist here. And you are off with a $50 gift card to Ace Hardware. 855-839-1210. All right, who is covering this classic song today?
I'm gonna take a freight train down in the stairs and low. I don't care where it goes. I'm gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain low. I'll jump off. Nobody
don't know. All right, let's go to Kevin in Bucks County, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Kevin, who's covering the song?
Hello, that would be Zac Brown Band, I do believe.
Do you know who he's covering it with? That was Zach providing backup vocals there, if you looked it up. Do you know who the lead singer on that track is? That's who we're looking for today.
Oh, that'd be Chris Stapleton?
No.
All right.
I just did the wrong thing. Jeez, man, I am off my game today. That's wrong.
All right, call us back, Kevin.
No, he's wrong. He's wrong. No, you're, right. The person in the news we're looking for, that's the lead singer there. I know you can Shazam the song if you want to try to find out. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for who that voice is, Dom.
All right, let's go to Jerry in Wilmington. Hey, Jerry, who's the lead?
Is it John Hopkins?
No. All right.
Yeah, no.
All righty. Good try. Gina in Doylestown, Talk Radio 1210. Gina, who is it?
I thought it was Jelly Roll.
I did too. That's who I would have gone with.
Well, they're being in the news, Don. We actually just talked about them last segment, or him last segment. Performing at the inauguration is the big clue here.
Oh, okay. All right. Jack in Jameson. Jack, who is it?
Kid Rock.
All right, yes.
There you go.
Performing at the inauguration. All right, I wouldn't have in a million years.
I'm back, Tom. I'm back.
Thank you, Jack. Good to have you.
Yeah, that's off the air.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Hey, Tom, can I get my hair thing in with Phyllis Diller?
Sure. Phyllis Diller's a good one. That is a very good one.
Phyllis Diller.
I called earlier on that one.
All righty. Gotcha, Jack. Put you on hold. I guess we can have a double winner. It's rare.
Yeah, that annoys me, though. I apologize if my annoyance was coming out there, because that is from a Zac Brown Band album, The Fabulous Fox Theater Live in Atlanta. But that was lead vocals by Kid Rock, a little trickster there. And being in the news was the big clue today, Dom.
All right. Yeah. What's Kid Rock's biggest hit?
Ball with the Ball, I think. Or...
Okay.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to be a cowboy, baby.
I don't know what I'll be singing then. There's a rally the night before. I think he's performing at Boat, and so are the Village People. That's going to be the big moment. Okay. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. I mentioned early on about too big to fail, okay? And here's another example of a group that's too big to fail. Apple. Apple's board recommended shareholders reject any kind of DEI rollback proposal. They're telling them to reject it, vote against it. They're not moving away from DEI at Apple. Now, Apple hasn't suffered any consequence from it. I don't know if they put on any ad per se that was the same thing that happened with Bud Light. But Apple, I remember a number of incidents over the years, including where they make some of their products or start the making of them in communist China. People don't care. They want Apple. Apple's still number one. Too big to fail. The NFL saw a downturn, by the way, and that's shocking to me, of people that viewed NFL games year over year from last year. I don't know why. I thought it was a pretty good season. They're too big to fail. Catholic Church, too big to fail. Here's an example. The person that's heading the Catholic Church, to me, I know this is blasphemous. In league with Joe Biden, Pope Francis gets Biden's blessing. Wall Street Journal today. On Saturday, Biden awarded the Medal of Freedom to the pontiff with distinction. He had planned to fly to Vatican City and award it to His Holiness in person, but the Los Angeles wildfire stopped that. He called Pope Francis the people's pope. He hailed him as unlike any who came before. That's exactly right. Both men, Biden and the pope, I believe, have diminished what they were in charge of. Biden, the presidency, and the Pope, the papacy. He has been unlike any other. That's exactly right. And that's why Biden could continue to get away in both camps. I'm a devout Catholic. That helps. I'm also pro-abortion in the extreme. When you can combine the two of them, it really helps you. So awarding Pope Francis another honor, I see none in this guy. The people's pope, though. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. I think that Pete Hegseth today did a good job. It was ferocious at times. Silly with Tim Kaine, the sexual life of Pete Hegseth. We played you Gillibrand. You had people, you know, making a point. It's a fair point to debate. How do we know Hegseth can run something this big? He doesn't have the background that we see with former secretaries of defense. Well, the answer is maybe we don't want that type of person heading up the military. Let's face it. Why? Look at it. Now, no one has called me in the past. If I said anything like that, they would say, how dare you? The American military, I still assume it's the best in the world. I don't know who I would say is the best. but it's shaky. Why in the world would it be shaky with all the resources put into it, with the weapon systems they have? And the answer is because of the mentality, because of the people in charge and how that seeps down, because of the wokeism. And that's exactly what Hegseth said today. By the way, got a great post on Twitter from Grandma Shackleton, listening yesterday to Henry and Dan talking about cursive. She talked about being in a record store. Well, that's a little dated, I guess. A few years ago, there was a family, mom, aunt, and three young girls aged 10 to 16. Some of the older album covers, song list on the album, are in cursive. The girls couldn't read them. They asked the aunt what the covers were, and she got upset and said she'd have to teach them. The album was Billy Joel, Piano Man. They couldn't read that. It would be like hieroglyphics.
Oh, no, that's sad.
Man. Seeing that. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I just thought that I'd point that out. That cursive stuff gets people crazy, as we saw yesterday.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, well, I told you it does, yes.
It's funny she brings up a record store, because I think a great analogy to cursive is the good old 8-track tape. I mean, once you converted all the music off that 8-track, we don't have to go back and learn how to use 8-tracks. No, we can just download the MP3 and listen.
Well,
it's fantastic.
Let me know when you take
like
the
vinyl.
When you take the founding documents and you get rid of them that are in cursive. I guess we're gonna have some guy print the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, we'll
type it up in New Roman.
We're just going to type it up and put it out there, right?
It already is. Newsbreak. It's all over the internet. You can just search it up and read it without having
to
know
cursive.
Read
in cursive. Doesn't have any majesty
anything. You can read it without knowing cursive already.
Yes, but you think it's the same thing? A printed
Declaration. This is like the Shakespeare conversation. No one's sitting with parchment paper in front of the fire reading the actual Constitution in 2025.
Well, many kids who listen to Reading, Writing, and Reason,
dipping the feather in the quill.
Exactly. The grand
notes on the side.
Where are my bifocals?
Let's go to Bob in Cherry Hill. Hey, Bob. Good afternoon.
Hey, Dom. Listen, yesterday I was at the bank, and every single person was looking down at their cell phone. There had to be 20 people in there.
So Googling how to write their name in cursive for when they've
signed the check. So, Bob, what do you take from that?
Oh, it's rare that I would agree with the king of hair, but I think they definitely should curtail phones in schools. But
the thing is, though, shouldn't that be, maybe it's a small point, but the Board of Education is supposed to do that.
They're cowardly. They're not going to do it.
Okay, but again, I worry about it. All these directives from the state. I really like local control. Maybe, Bob, a lot of parents, maybe they'll call in. They want their kid to have that phone in case of emergency. That's the dread. They want to know the kid's safe.
That's fine. Just limit it. You know, it's become an addiction. It's clear that there's a proof of that. So,
well, I hear you, but that's, again, I think that's a parent's job. And, why are the schools and others not doing it? So you're saying what? The parents are wrong and they're afraid to push back on the parents.
I mean, you alienate your kids if they don't have their phone at this point.
Right.
Like if your kid's one of the weird kid that doesn't have a phone,
right,
then
exactly.
They become like the unpopular kid.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I feel like there's still going to be some kind of edict.
There needs to be a larger discussion because it's crazy, out of control. But my hair answer is a guy that grew up in South Philly, Dom,
yep.
And lived at 3rd and South when he was severely burned as a child, and then his father gave him violin lessons. But it was Louis Feinberg, otherwise known as Larry from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, the stooge that kept the we like that. That kept was the glue of the Stooges, without a doubt. Thank you, Bob. Good, yeah, that's good hair. Joe in Columbus has a great hair. I think Robert does too. And Joe does have great hair himself, so he knows hair. 855-839-1210. You get on board. How did Pete Hegseth do today? I think well enough to get 52-53 Republicans. There should be no doubt. Now, Murkowski, somebody like that, at some point, they have to take her out politically. That's the only way to do this. All right, your calls. Lightning round. Not the lightning round next. More calls coming up, and we hope to speak with Scott Jennings. If not today, tomorrow, It's on CNN now, breaking down what happened today. There was a lot of fire, and Hegseth fired back, but it wasn't excessive. He hit the right line, the pushback, without doing anything that would get him entrapped here with these Democrat senators. I thought it was masterful, and I think he absorbed some things. He let it go, and that was smart, too. 855-839-1210.
And the manager gives me a smile, 'cause he knows that it's me they've been coming to see.
Hey, I've got an important question to ask you. Are you planning to sell your home in 2025 or even, you know, beyond that? You're thinking about it. You're in that mode. The housing market is changing fast. It's not what it used to be. But my great friend Diane Cardano is back with us from Cardano Realtors. Wants to help you stay ahead of the shifting real estate market, increase the value of your home. So put this one on your calendar. Diane is hosting a free breakfast. It's a great breakfast, too. Seminar on Saturday morning, February 1st at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington. She'll show you how to tackle today's uncertain market with rising inventory, fluctuating interest rates, low-cost ways to stage your home, and lots of other insights. I'll be there along with Diane. We'll meet, chat about all that's happened until that point. And it's always a great time to get Diane's advice. She'll be signing copies of her new book, Model Home Mindset. You don't want to wing it when you're selling your home. Diane Cardano does all the homework, gets that home sold fast and for top dollar. Don't miss out. RSVP now. It's simple. It's all free. Call 215-576-8666 or visit 215-576-8666.com. I'll see you on February 1st. All right, Tom Giordano Show, 855-839-1210. All right, more attacks on those who don't like cursive. Henry is in a reasonable position. Dan, maybe not so much. Let's go to Annie in Kennes Square. Ann, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Ann.
How are you today, Dom?
Good, Ann.
As I told the screener, I am a graduate of Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland, and that is the only college for which George Washington granted his permission to use his name. And forever, decades, centuries, his signature has been a large part of the college logo. And just this past year, they were finding that their students didn't know what the logo said. So they have modernized George Washington's signature so that the students will know what it says.
So how have they modernized it? Have they printed it now?
Well, kind of, yes, sort of. But it just doesn't look anything like George Washington's signature.
Oh, my God.
Which is very distinctive, as many people know what George Washington's signature looks like. But it was horrifying to many of us alumni.
Yes, and it should be. I mean,
it should be.
There is nothing then that's valuable in keeping that you have to make a little bit of an extra effort toward it, seems to be the message here. And you're going to that college. Go to somewhere else then.
Well, that's it. If you don't know what the college logo looks like or says, then why do you want to go there?
And the logo that they replaced it with is your standard college logo, regular typeface, not even like scripty. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You've made some converts here, Andy.
I'm almost on the side.
Yes, it makes some sense.
It's, quote, modern and easy to read, yet carries elements of traditional typography. Ooh. Was there?
Oh, no. Yeah, trying to con us in both ways. You know, and a place like that, you would think, particularly Washington, they would say, no, we're not changing this in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I got the news release.
Ever.
This is great, Dom. It says, because cursive writing is no longer taught universally in K-12 education, the script, especially this highly stylized version, was difficult to read and not immediately recognizable for many prospective students. Brian Spear, the college's vice president for marketing communications, said, this was counterproductive when it came to name recognition and identity. When the logo was reduced to smaller sizes in ads and printed materials, it became illegible, rendering the logo ineffective.
It became illegible because of what again?
The type size.
Yeah, the type size. Yeah, like when you make it smaller, you can't read anything. It's just like a bunch of scribbles.
And that is, that is a great example. It's a body blow toward this. And again, this debate has gone over the years. They've proven there's higher order skills that come with learning cursive. It's not that hard to do. I wouldn't say, given everything. I mean, how much are we studying climate in school? Maybe cursive might be a little bit better.
I think everyone should know how to write in cursive just for the sheer beauty. Slow down. You know, smell the roses. Look at how beautiful one can write. I used to work at a public school that was a feeder school from a Catholic middle school and elementary school, and you could spot immediately.
Well, there are rare exceptions, and if you saw my handwriting, you might disown me. And I got a 95 at King of Peace in handwriting. I'm not sure how, but it's degenerated. All right, what is your hair, your distinctive hair?
My distinctive hair is Shirley Temple.
That is great. Good chip, lollipop.
The bouncy ringlets.
Exactly. The curled hair, some years it's favorable, then it seems to go backwards, that people don't like it. Then women straighten their hair. Yeah, I'm not sure. Henry, it serves you well. You have a little bit of a wavy.
Yeah, I have some wave in my hair. Yeah, it serves me well.
Okay.
I always have a theory that like hair and like kind of trend styles always repeat itself every 30 years. So I feel like that big hair of the 80s, that kind of came back a little bit in the 2010s, and we're not going to see it again for another 20-some-odd years.
We should have big hair day every
day. The
mullet. There's nothing wrong with it. It's much better than the mullet.
So, Dom, should we bring the S's back to F's? Because the George Washington signature is George Waffington.
Is that what it is now?
No. It's like, you know how like when they used to write in script?
Yes.
The old S's were like, they looked like F's.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I'd have to see that. Yeah.
I like to think that there were kids at this college all 4 years, and then at graduation they just went like, man, do we ever figure out what all those squiggles in the logo meant?
Wow.
And then someone just be like, dude, that's Washington's signature, dude.
Exactly. All right.
I wouldn't be able to tell.
855-839-1210. It's the lightning round coming up. Again, Scott Jennings just sent me another note. Laugh online. He's on CNN. Turn on CNN, you'll see me, but we'll make this up. So we'll see how the Hegseth thing plays out. But my guess is, seeing this today, most of it, live, I wouldn't say they didn't lay a glove on him, but I don't see how any Republican, Murkowski accepted, and then we still have a little bit of a margin. That's all that matters in the end. And the people on this committee, I believe, are going to vote for him. The Republicans are going to carry this. Might get a Democrat or two. The hearing is drawing comparisons to Kavanaugh's, in that suddenly they went down this path with, making claims of what this woman who settled with him actually did and why did he settle and the whole deal that was involved. But again, there's nothing here that's disqualifying that I see other than he admitted to character flaws. He also talked about that's not the person I am now versus what I was in these situations. All right, and then you have to make a judgment. Do you think that's true? How do you determine that's not? The big contention, though, the thing that got people going was not that. And it's legit. It's in his role as Secretary of Defense. Women in hand-to-hand combat. That's what Democrats want. They also seemingly want a lot more military interventions than Trump does.
Concerns about anything he did today. I thought he specifically answered the questions he needed to. And some of this stuff is going to be set by the President of the United States and the President's National Security Council advisors and staff. I mean, he's not a one-man show. Secretary of Defense is important, but there's a whole national security team. I don't think Hegseth or anyone else from one of these kinds of positions should go to the table and act like they're going to unilaterally set policy. So I think he handled himself well today. I think Democrats had maybe built up in their mind that he was going to be a low performer. They lowered the bar, but he far jumped over any expectations they had said. And I just want to say one thing about Karen's comments. She made some great points. She raised some issues that Democrats obviously care about. These are important issues. I agree with her that maybe they did deserve a little more questioning today, which is why it's all the more puzzling why a Tim Kaine, who's worked for the Clintons or campaigned with him, who campaigned with Doug Emhoff, decided to spend eight minutes as the vice presidential nominee of
our country.
To that point, that's Scott Jennings, and we'll bring that up tomorrow. So here you have Tim Kaine, right? Now, remember, he was Hillary's second VP choice. He is campaigned with Kamala Harris's husband. And we know Bill Clinton's history. And we know the second gentleman, the current second gentleman's history, don't we? The nanny, the whole thing, maybe a woman pushed around. And yet, it wasn't talking about sexual assault. That's one thing with Hegseth. Okay, that's legit. You want to get into that. It was talking about his lack of character by apparently having a child with another woman. I guess an abortion would have covered that, Timmy.
Completely cleared. Can you so casually cheat on a second wife and cheat on the mother of a child that had been born 2 months before, and you tell us you are completely cleared? Senator, how is that a complete clear?
Senator, her child's name is Gwendolyn Hope Hegseth, and she's a child of God, and she's 7 years old.
And she was, and you cheated on the mother of that child less than 2 months after that daughter was born, didn't you?
All right. You know, that is, in a religious sense, are we electing again? It's universal. There's no defense for Hegseth on that issue. All right? But cleared is a word that we use when we're talking about legally cleared. And he did that. And he owned up to it. And even, I would make this, even if he did not say, I'm a changed man, and he offered evidence of that, okay, you can consider that. But how in the world, then, do you work with the Clintons and Kamala Harris's husband, and then suddenly we're supposed to believe Democrats care about character in that sense? No, they don't. It was ridiculous, and it was 8 minutes of it. My only other objection to this whole thing is, and you just heard Scott Jennings bring it up, there's not enough time. I don't know why we're always in a rush with this. Well, what do you want them to do? I want questioning to go on for days. I don't care whatever else they think is more important. First of all, don't start on Tuesday. Start on Mondays at 7 a.m. Go to at least 7 or 8 o'clock that night. Then come back and do it all over again. This is consequence. It's the Secretary of Defense in a military that needs a lot of help because of what the wokeisms have done to it. So take the time. If he can't withstand it, he can't withstand it. I want to see 10, 12, 14 hours of testimony, 2 or 3 days. Yeah, well, that's kind of boring. Well, then you're in the wrong business. So that's a fair point. But the stuff they got into that really mattered to them is not anything that the Secretary of Defense, he was on the right side of it, is what I'm saying. And he answered it capably, pushed back, but wasn't excessive. That's the tell from this today. All right, it is the lightning round next. 855-839-1210 at On Board.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, it is Dom time, the lightning round. All-time distinctive hair in honor of the great, well, Billy Ray Cyrus, who's one of the lead acts at the inaugural and events, etc. Let's go to the Earl of Tacony here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Earl, what do you have today?
Real quick, if you follow Twitter, all you hear about is Donald Trump is a rapist, Pete Hegseth is a rapist, and now you have Kristen Gillibrand saying that we have to have women in combat. Doesn't she understand that the three tenets of war are pillage, burn, and rape? I mean, to put these women in unnecessary harm's way, I mean, I can understand being in supporting roles, I have no problem with that, but to put them on the front line and have them, you know, subjected to, you know, the humiliation of rape on top of everything else. I mean, I've read stories about men being raped over the course of war. And to have that done to women, I mean, does Kristen Gillibrand just want to have abortion pills in all of the Army hospitals for the prisoners of war?
Well, what would you say if she said, well, that's the woman's choice, though. They realize what the difficulties are here in putting them in there. So I wouldn't make that argument. I hear you. The argument I would make is, though, the worst, not capable in hand-to-hand combat because of the differences. That's the argument Alan West made yesterday. These people want to pretend, to your point, it doesn't come down to things like that. They think everybody's playing video games.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty strong women that could probably kick my rear. So, I do understand that, you know, we're talking muscle mass and, you know, overall upper body strength, you know, so that is a consideration. But it's nothing new. There was a battery company that forbid women from working in the factory, even though it was the highest paying job, because they were afraid of birth defects. And they only chose women who were had themselves sterilized or signed a waiver so that, you know, they could make them the greater money taking the risk, knowing that, you know, they were going to have the risk of, you know, having children with birth defects from working with lead all the time. So, you know, there's always a risk, especially when it comes to women, about working certain dangerous jobs.
All right. Got your point, Earl. What is the hair?
My first two were taken, so I'm going to have to just resort to Milo Yiannopoulos, who would spend thousands of dollars a month just to get his hair done. I mean, you know, that was the one thing, you know, you've seen my haircut. I'm not a hair guy. But every time I'd see Milo on TV, it's like, wow, look at that haircut. You know, if I had hair, I'd wear it like that.
All right. There's a kind of random name from the past who was hot at one point, then kind of fell off the map. By the way, Blumenthal today, the most outrageous maybe of all, given his stolen valor, clearly, how's he even on a committee? Tammy Duckworth really went back and forth with Hegseth. And I'm not taking the content, but somebody like that, I saw her when I was in the spin room. The wound she suffered from war, I think she was in a wheelchair that night that I remember, were grievous. Somebody like that has standing. Blumenthal? No. Elizabeth Warren? My God. Let's go to Robert in Ben Salem. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert. Afternoon.
Hi, Dom. Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. Will, is this going to be like a formal function at the NAC on Monday?
Formal? No.
Okay.
We're just having fun. I am going to wear something salmon. I got these women on ranges out there. They need something in Oregon.
Okay. Also, will there be anybody there that would, like, be able to get a word to the Trump people?
Sure.
Because I'm really serious about suggesting this, going after the census laws to take away the incentive of the blue states to keep these immigrants. But that's for another time. I'm going to go outside of the box with my answer to the side question, and I'm going to go with Medusa, the Gorgon sister with the snake in her hair that could turn people into stone. However, I would submit that me and you have known women in our lives that had lovely hair that were just as capable of turning us into stone with just a look. You guys had yourselves a great day, all right? I appreciate it.
What a call. Thank you, Robert. No, it's not formal at the NAC, the Monday the 20th. Dan might be wearing that green suit again. I wish... Well, everybody can't be there, but people want to see Henry, too. I know he was a big hit at the Grand Hotel in Cape May. So, all right.
Break me out of this cage.
Yeah, we'll have to find somewhere. Yeah, we need more help there. It's going to be a big crowd. If the last time is any measure. Greg told me we have these big screen TVs. I forget how many. I think 75 inches. Is that what I'm being told? I think four of them.
What's 75 inches?
The big screen TVs.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, four of them.
Very large.
We're going to blanket the room there. You'll be able to see it live, the oath. And then we're going to go to you immediately. Your reaction, emotional or not, however you're reacting that first hour. We'll have guests on stage with us, a wide variety of people, too, that I think you'll like. And food and drink. It's always a great time.
Maybe a kangaroo?
Well, yeah, if we get to, you did text Greg and say, about that kangaroo.
You want the word-for-word text that I sent
yes.
Greg?
Yes, yeah, what did you send Greg Stock?
Greg, can I have kangaroo show up at the NAC if okay with Jim?
Yeah, that's it.
And then Greg, I followed it up with, I'm cherishing the fact that I'll probably never have the opportunity to send the above text message again in my life.
We heard Jim Worthington was fine with a kangaroo there for the kids' summer camp. Why couldn't we have him there with the listeners to sell it? We'll make news. Talk radio brings kangaroo to Trump. Yeah, exactly.
They'll fit right in.
1210
sure.
Brought the kangaroo court out to, you know, the NAC.
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
Let's go to Drew in Upper Darby. Drew is next. Talk radio 1210. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Dom. Thank you so much. You know, Dom, you read my mind with the Blumenthal. The stolen valor guy, just one time at one of these hearings, I would love to hear one of these people who are taking his abuse just fire back at him in sarcasm. Hey, thanks for your service, Senator. You know, just to let them know that the world knows how much of a fraud he is.
Thanks for your valor, Senator. Yes, there we go.
Thanks for your service. You know, what a fraud. Well, anyway, Dom, my answer, she was a country gal of the 80s, and she had a sultry, sexy voice, and her hair went down to the floor. Her name was Crystal Gayle.
Boy, that is a very random answer out of all these.
He
it's
said
true.
It might be.
Yeah, it's true. Now that I remember it, Crystal Gayle.
Oh, I had to look her up, but that hair is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I think it's real. All right, one more. Gary.
It's the first and last time we'll ever get a Crystal Gayle as an answer.
Gary in Newtown. Hi, Gary. Welcome in.
Thank you, Dom. Real quick, something you said about Sully earlier, it's something you probably don't know, but Clint Eastwood directed the movie, and he, too, was part of a plane crash where his plane went into the Pacific Ocean on his way back to Fort Ord to get back to his training base.
Wow. Imagine a guy, did he come over there? I have to look that up, the system, and say, we're going to be landing on the Hudson, get ready. Oh, my God.
It was much worse than Hudson. He, being Clint Eastwood, had no communication with the pilot. He was stuck all the way in the back in a wasn't really even considered cargo.
Well, thank God we kept Clint Eastwood. What a career. Hard to even say his greatest role. But, yeah, that's good stuff, Gary. Who's your person, the hair?
For my side question, I'm going to sing something for the melody of the day, and it's, I want to rock and roll all night. And that would be the greatest marketing talent in rock and roll, Gene Simmons, who had the original man bun and big hair and makeup.
Gene Simmons, I've interviewed two or three. Nobody's a better marketer. Got about 30 seconds for Joe in Bordentown. Joe, who's yours?
In hot climates for malaria and...
Joe's talking about malaria there. All right. And Joe in Columbus, because that's who I run. Jimmy Johnson. Great hair. That guy does have great hair.
What was he talking about malaria for?
I don't know. That's why. All right.
Making
Henry,
a trip somewhere, apparently.
Who did you like here?
I thought the answer of Jack and Jameson was Phyllis Tiller, because I had no idea who that was.
Okay.
I looked up that hair. Good Lord.
It was a great call.
You attracted
too.
To her?
No.
Yeah, Fang would be, yes, the operative word. She was a great comedian, yes.
I like Drew and Upper Darby's Crystal Gayle reference.
Kind of random.
Farrah Fawcett's an all-timer.
Yeah.
Marge Simpson for a fictional character. Mr. T is a good one. Shirley Temple.
Well, you know what? Might go with Marge Simpson because the entirety of the call was unbelievable.
It was a good call.
Yeah. So
just what transpired, yeah.
Karis
and Kintersville.
For those, yes. Yes.
She runs a zoo.
Yeah, and she has a kangaroo that we might have out there at the NAC.
Oh, man, it's going to be a big day. You'll want to be there to see that kangaroo, and even more importantly, Dan's suit in my shirt. Bro, get to the store and get that salmon shirt. The ladies are counting on it. Rich Zioli next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.